Time is 1:30. I'd like to call to order the Greater Austin Area Telecommunications Network meeting of the Board of Directors for October 4th, 2022. Agenda item number one is a roll call.
Yes, I'm Sarah Eichelberger, and I will call the roll. Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
Leslie Connolly, City of Austin.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
John Greiner, Austin ISD.
Present.
Harold Nall, UT.
Present.
Steve Pyle, State of Texas DIR.
Present.
Sid Falk, Bickerstaff Heath Delgado Acosta.
Present.
And from Austin Energy, we have Tina Little.
Present.
And we have Chris Gonzalez from Bricom.
Present.
And Doug Wilson from JC Communications.
Present.
We've established a quorum.
Thanks, Sarah. Agenda item number two is citizen communications. Do we have anything today?
No, sir.
Okay, hearing none, moving on to agenda item number three. Review and approve the minutes from the last board meeting, September 13th, 2022, in your packet.
Just a quick note for the record, Robert Sadler with LCRA joined the meeting at 1:32.
Welcome, Bobby.
Thank you.
This is Dane. Motion to approve the minutes of September 13th, 2022, as presented.
This is Jaime. I'll second.
Here we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
John Greiner.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Leslie Connolly.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
Okay, I'm going to go a little bit out of order on this one. I'm going to skip down to 5A because we have seen a little from AE on and I want to respect her time. So 5A is status and history of the Austin Energy polls for the A1N Ronald Earl Building 192 upgrade project. So Tina and I had the opportunity to connect over the phone this morning. My concern, if you'll remember from, I believe it was the tech meeting, that we are reapplying to be up on these poles, upgrading our cable from a 114 to a 192. And Austin Energy, as I understand, is allowing us to submit a PLA. But I'll go ahead and turn it over to Tina to describe the rest because that's not my area of expertise.
Right. Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me. I'm Greg is normally going to be at these meetings, but he's out, so I was taking his place today. I'm the Pole Attachment Services Program Manager. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes.
I'm sorry, my voice is hoarse. I'm got a little allergies today, so let me know if you can't understand me. And I'm also the Interim Manager for Shared Services, which Pole Attachment Services reports up through. So the polls, it might help if I share my screen. Do you mind if I share my screen so I can show some examples of the kind of polls we're talking about?
Certainly.
Is that okay?
Please.
Just be aware that this meeting is open to the public, so if this is considered confidential by Austin Energy, we might want to reconsider.
It is a Google Map. I just have Google Maps pulled up. Do you think that's okay?
I think that's okay.
Okay. Can y'all see the screen?
Yeah, we can see it.
Yeah.
There are several locations that we've had applications come through for polls similar to this, but I'm going to use this one as a first example because specifically this is the one that I got approval from one of our VPs, our prior VP on. And so see these polls, how they're shorter, they're topped polls. That we call them stub poles or topped poles. And Austin Energy is no longer on these poles. This is only Gatton and then maybe one or two other carriers on these poles. Austin Energy went underground and we have a number of these situations downtown. Another is, this is in front of Whole Foods here to the right. There's some poles down there and I'm not sure if you guys are on those, but the same thing, we went underground. And Whole Foods, the development at that time, decided to not underground the comms. And so they're sitting on poles out there. What the problem for us, those are poles that we no longer maintain. And they are at the end of their useful life. So back to this one. So what we did, we denied them the first several times they came through. Dan Smith was denied him as he's our VP several years ago. Then we had Tom Pierpoint, and he decided that, you guys, if you could send us a PLA, a poll loading analysis that indicates that the poll would be okay for you to attach another or redo your attachment and provide us an indication that the poll is sound for that, then you could replace like for like. That's not new attachments, but like for like. And but with the caveat that if we have to remove these lines, or if these poles go down, either hit or by if they're rotten, there's no guarantee we can get them back up in the same place, and that you're gonna have to do something different anyway. So that's what Dane and I talked about this morning. That does anybody have any questions so far about this topic?
Looks like John raised his hand.
Yeah, kind of related to it. I was just wondering, kind of new to the attending the Gatton meeting, so be patient with my silly questions. But But do we, whenever y'all do the underground burial of electrical cabling, or do we ever discuss this related to Gatton to go ahead and possibly bury the Gatton cables at the same time, at collaboratively, so that since they're digging trenches, you know, that would be the optimal time.
I would think, and Frank may be a better one to speak to this currently what their process is. But a lot of these big developments like this, especially in the downtown area, they'll go through utility coordination. So if you're at the utility coordination meetings, you'll be aware of it, and it'll be arranged through that. And yes, there's spacing, and there's other trends. So a lot of times I think and we don't deal with underground, pole attachment services does not, but because things go underground, I'm familiar with it. So mm-hmm. I'm not the best one to quote the exact process, but I do know that carriers will work together too, to get in a joint trench. And that's typically the developer, you know, is working with you to do that, because a lot of these are developer driven builder, developer driven projects. The problem we've got, these two that I showed you, and then there are some poles, they're behind if I can get my screen to get to this tab. This, I believe, is somewhere over near the your building, your Ronnie Earl building. It's in the vicinity, and you can see some of these poles. We're not on them, but there are a lot of poles in alleys, and I believe that has been an issue as well. So yes, going forward, you know, we're trying to work with, I got in this position in 2014. So anything prior to 2014, that was also about the time the Google Fiber project started. And so when that happened, there's just been an insane amount of work in the city. And you guys know that from this perspective of this. And so, and a lot of other carriers increase their infrastructure as well. So just a whole lot of work on our poles, and there's a lot more attachments to our poles. The 90, about the time Gatton started in 96, there's a Telecommunication Act in 96 that opened up the market, and so other carriers could attach to our poles. So from 96 to present, it's just gone, you know, our pole space is limited. We're very full. The city of Austin, we have up to 12 attachments on some poles. We prefer that it be five or under, because that's what they're designed for, is five attachments. And so that's why, you know, we require a PLA if you're going to be the sixth attachment. So that, you know, that's just to give you a little kind of history on where we came to where we are today on this topic. These poles are all older. I mean, these projects were older. So when Austin Energy went underground, I don't know what the history is of how these were not placed underground. So now we're dealing with these poles above ground, and they are slated for removal. That's how they're considered in Austin Energy system, is slated for removal. So we don't allow new attachments to them. Our last VP, like I said, told Dane earlier, and you guys now, our last VP okayed a like-for-like replacement. But we want you guys to know that's a temporary situation. Any other questions about that?
Maybe just a comment. So to speak, they're kind of like the legacy poles, for a term that we use in technology a lot. Okay.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, they're just poles still sitting there. And, you know, you can see, though, like the one here on in front of Whole Foods, it's leaning some, you know. This concrete pole right here, that concrete pole just has comms on it now. It's not Austin Energy is not even attached to it. So it's kind of interesting. That's a massive pole there with just comms on it. But that's kind of our situation. This is the, like I said, this was the particular area where I know that there was an issue, and that's where our prior VP approved the like for like.
So to further address John's question, yeah, John, if we have to go underground, we are always looking for partners to share costs, and the other utilities are as well. Underground is really expensive, so anytime that we can split those costs, it's more advantageous. It sounds like we just missed this opportunity with AE when they went underground in these locations. Not sure what year we're talking.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, it was just maybe a communication thing that we didn't partner when that happened. So is there an opportunity, Tina? Is there possibly some underground pathway that exists now that Gatton might be able to occupy some space or purchase some space?
I don't know. Like I said, underground is not my area of expertise. And I think the underground for Austin Energy, I don't even want to speak to it. I could probably find out some information and pass back along. But like I said, my area of expertise is the overhead.
If you have somebody in your organization that you could point me to, I could reach out and just see if there's some conduit space somewhere that might help us. I'm not expecting miracles, but you never know. You don't know until you ask the question, right?
Right. Yeah, I can get you a name or someone to start with, and if anything, they may know who to refer you to.
That's great. Any questions, comments for Tina regarding the AE polls?
Dane, the one other option that, these poles, you could apply to replace these poles and get and own the poles. You could apply with right of way and then ask for them to be set in the same area or same spot. That's kind of difficult to be done, but it's doable. That's another option. And we went over that. We've gone over that with Frank and Carlos previously. So that is an option as well. We cannot sell the poles or give you the poles because they're at the end of their useful life, but they could be replaced.
Yeah, Tina. Tina, I just want to speak to that real quick. I don't know if you recall, it's been a few years since we were hot and heavy on this particular topic and those poles along San Antonio, but right away actually denied us replacing those poles with our own poles. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I mean, something that could be revisited if we do a temporary, like for like replacement, as it sounds, we're heading to. Well, we can revisit with right away once again. But they said if there's poles there, they're not going to approve excavation permits to replace poles with poles. And I can revisit that with them. Like I said, I think that was in 2018. I followed up with them in 2020 and got the same response. So I want to make sure everybody knows too, Tina is right. When you talk about the development that comes in or developer that comes in, but sometimes these developers only relocate Austin Energy or the electrical overhead lines. They won't pay or will not relocate comms in some cases. And there are literally hundreds of top poles, not necessarily all from Austin Energy, but from comms that are out there in the field that we're attached to, AE poles that we're attached to, Encore PC, Blue Bonnet, there's top poles that we're attached to. It's not uncommon for us to be attached to top poles. What makes the difference when these poles in particular that I'm seeing is that these are slated for removal. And that's the caveat here.
Do we have a date of when these poles are scheduled to be removed?
No, not these poles in particular. We actually were talking about that this morning, that we've got to get a plan going on this, like a plan forward. But no, we don't. Right. Not right now.
Yeah, the big issue, not for AE, I would imagine, but it's just trying to work with the comms. There's a lot of service drops on these poles feeding a lot of commercial facilities. from the other comms that are attached to the poles as well. You know, not us, but there is a ton of service drops. So it, like, you know, for example, if we were to replace the poles, we were dealing with all those service drops, all those customers that aren't ours, and the comms involved. So I definitely would recommend the, you know, the AE. I know AE typically does not allow any comms, including Gatton, to go underground in their conduit. That's a big no-no, always has been in the field, if we're an AE conduit. So I don't see any resolution there. If there's maybe a comm there, AT&T, Verizon, any, you know, any kind of company out there that may have conduit in that street, I can get with the right-of-way department and find out, and we can approach them about leasing conduit. I still would like to get the contact and have Danny and I work possibly with the AE contact to see if there's anything possible, but I don't suspect there will be. I don't anticipate it.
This is Sid. Let me ask a question. What kind of easements or right-of-ways are these poles in?
City of Austin right-of-way.
And did right-of-way department give you an explanation for why they refused new poles?
They didn't want the excavation on San Antonio of, you know, digging new holes to replace poles that already exist. They said, you need to work that out with Austin Energy. That doesn't make any sense to us. You need to purchase the poles or do whatever you got to do from Austin Energy. And there, you know, there is one particular pole out there that, I know we got the PLAs in there, but it's not leaning or anything, but it's probably the most deteriorated pole of the bunch. The rest of them are in decent shape last time I looked at them. For our standards, not for, I'm not saying for AE standards.
Frank, and all of you guys, I'd be willing to, if we want to meet with right of way again, I'd be willing to meet with them and see if we could go at that one more time.
That sounds good. I'll get something set up, Tina.
Yeah, I imagine if the right of way department is averse to excavation in this area, there'd be a lot less excavation with pole replacements than there would be for new underground facilities.
Duck bank, yeah, because, you know, the other thing we could do is contact the comms that are on the poles and, you know, say, hey, these poles are going away. We're going underground. Do you want to join us? Cut down costs and just, you know, go up San Antonio underground. So a couple options there for this.
And timing, one of you asked about how long ago, you know, some of these probably happened in the 80s. Some of these were in the 80s, some in the 90s, but quite a while ago.
Yeah, it was definitely before my time. I don't remember anything coming through utility coordination on San Antonio where AE was going underground.
Are we doing a pretty good job coordinating with Austin Energy right now, that anytime they pull their cables off the poles, that they just go ahead and at that time we establish a separate conduit or pathway for Gatton, so that it's, you know, we kind of avoid this situation in the future? Or do you have to always attend those utility coordination meetings?
Yeah, so those utility coordination meetings take place once a week every Thursday, 2 p.m. Okay. And we attend them, so we catch everything coming through, whether it's AE or And vice versa for AE and, you know, everybody else involved in the room. They catch if we're going to, you know, go underground in a certain area. And typically, comms won't run with electrical in underground. You know, even though we're not copper, there's no interference for us being fiber only. But typically, we're going to be in a trench with.
Yeah, it's probably just a safer bet to keep them separated. That way, there's no question.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Thank you for the detail.
So we're going to go ahead and continue to apply for those poles for the time being. If everybody's in agreement with that, Tina, you know, we've got that PLA in, so we're looking to replace that 114 with a 192, and we've got some projects coming up in this meeting in particular that we're seeking approval so we can continue forward. If you hear of any dates, Tina, of the, of when those were to be removed, you know, the sooner the better if you find anything out on that.
Okay, will do.
Thanks, Tina. Thank you so much. Dane, you still with us?
Frank, he's having some technical difficulties, and he's going to disconnect and reconnect.
Okay. I want to make sure that he's content with this agenda item before we move to the next one. Dane, can you hear us?
While we're waiting for Dane, does anybody else have any more questions on this topic?
No, I don't think so. And you know, if Dane was here, he could make the call. But I would say, you know, Tina, you've pretty much covered everything that I can think of that we needed. And I know you and Dane spoke earlier today, so I know he's going to be pretty up to date with the do's and don'ts and the options available for this particular route.
Hey, can you all hear me?
Can hear you now.
All right. Sorry, had to switch over to computer audio again. This conference phone's having problems. That's two meetings in a row. So, Tina, thank you so much for joining, and we appreciate the information.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tina.
Sure, and y'all just reach out to us if you have any questions or concerns or want to talk through anything. We'll be happy to meet.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to see, Jaime, with your blessing, I'd like to see an agenda item for the tech meeting that discusses Gatton's procedures for polls that have been topped.
Sounds good to me, yeah. Let's add that to the tech item or tech agenda, please, Sarah.
Noted. Also, I want to note for the record that Mike Lorstorfer with Austin ISD joined the meeting at 1:41 p.m. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I was late.
All right, moving back up in the agenda to item number 4, which is the consent agenda. The board will entertain a motion.
This is Gary Wiesman. I motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
This is Jaime. I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve consent agenda items 4A and 4B. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, please lead us through a vote.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
John Greiner.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Leslie Connolly.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
That's a unanimous approval.
Okay, next items up are 5 B, C, D, and E. How many of these are impacted by the topped polls for A1N?
Carlos, you might want to answer that one. I think A2N is not. Yes. I think specifically A1N, if I'm not mistaken.
No, actually, A2N is impacted, and let me see here. So that would be 5D is impacted. Just a second. And 5C is impacted. 5B is not impacted.
Hey, Carlos, just real quick, a little off topic here, but when Tina was showing the Whole Foods polls over there, we're not over there on those, are we?
We are on the
opposite side.
Sorry, we are on the south western corner of the Whole Foods.
Okay, good enough.
I digress. No, we're not on those polls. No, we're not. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so regarding 5B through 5E, I'm sorry, at least 5B through 5D, those are all labeled Ronald Earl buildings. Are there any of those that are urgent, or is this something that can wait until we have our conversation at the tech meeting regarding topped poles and see if we can come up with a plan moving forward?
Well, we can wait if you like.
That'll give, you know, 2 weeks for you all to go back and just verify that none of those proposed pathways are including these topped poles.
No, all those two that I mentioned are impacted by this, and that's a guarantee. Yes.
There's A1N and A2N, right?
That's correct.
And A2N is where you come from the side, right, through that alley. Is that right?
Well, yeah. They both go through that location right there, sir. Yeah.
They both go down. Let me just make sure I'm right. Do they both go down San Antonio? They're not.
That's
both
correct.
Overlashed together on San, all the way down San Antonio on those top eight poles, are they? Or are they?
We have the prints if you want to see them.
No, it's okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They right. do are together in that area, as well as you know. There's a couple other things that are out there that will be overlashed again. So,
yeah, I think we can definitely hold off on this. I'm thinking my recollection was that they were that pole that was in the alley that we had moved for Travis County at one point. Dana, I don't know if you remember that or not, but Bo met us out there. I thought that's where A2N and A1N met. A2N coming this way and A1N going this way up San Antonio, but it sounds like I'm incorrect. So definitely let's give it a couple of weeks, bring back the procedures for top poles to the tech and bring this back to the next board meeting is my would be my preference at this time.
Well, based on the conversation that we have at the tech meeting, there could be a possible redesign for these segments, correct?
I was not in a tech meeting, but I think this is it. This is the redesign. This is the final.
Well, if Austin Energy doesn't approve attaching to the poles, or if the right-of-way department doesn't approve replacing the poles, then, yeah, I think it would be not a good idea to invest in this infrastructure if we have to go underground, for example.
Right. But okay, so, yes, but at the same time, we need GATN's approval to move forward with attachment to those poles and applying to them, and that includes these costs.
I see.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
But 2 weeks, it's not a deal breaker. Another month, you know.
This is Gary. Can you have that meeting that you were just discussing with Tina, try to get the meeting with right away and find out if there's a possibility that we can replace these poles? Because like Dane and Jaime are saying, if we can't replace the poles, then we have to come up with a whole new solution, correct?
Yeah.
We are going to have to go underground, which will cost a lot more, and we'll have to go into negotiations with the other telcos, most likely.
Yep. Yeah, it's totally up to the board what the board wants to do. I will note to you that this, when Dane, which is, Dan Smith, which is the letters attached as a handout in this meeting, notified Dane that these poles were slated for removal. That was in 2018. So they've been slated for removal since 2018. And I'm not saying that they won't be moved next year. I'm not saying they won't be moved in the next 5 years, but we do have to have a backup plan for sure in place, and that's something we can get to work on. But in order for us to get to work outside of the meeting with right away and possibly meeting with other comms, outside of that, anything we do is at a cost with our vendors, engineering costs. So we would need approval for these projects to be able to do that. This is part of the A1 upgrade, so that's one way to look at it, is just remember We're doing A2N while we're there. It only makes sense to do it while we're there for that section of A2N anyway. But you have to remember that our highest priority has been an A1N upgrade as GATN projects go. And
I want to make sure that our fiber and our communications are on supported infrastructure that will not be decommissioned, and you know, I don't want us to be scrambling and have 6 months to find a pathway for critical infrastructure if, you know, if these poles do get decommissioned. So I would like for us to continue to work on having infrastructure that we know is going to be supported for the long term. So let's see how the conversation goes at the tech meeting.
Okay. We do have active 114 on those poles right now. So definitely something that no one wants to know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Moving on to 5E, City of Austin Network Management Resource Request.
Yes. Let me get to that one here. So you'll note in your handouts the presentation. I'm going to go through these slides with you. I'm trying not to read them verbatim. So I've got two different sheets I'm working on. So as some may recall, you know, the ones that have been here longer, since 2018, Gatton Network Management Team has mentioned a need for an additional resource. In a Gatton board meeting around that time frame, it was one of the objections to that, to the additional resource at that time, was the fact that, you know, we were saying how fast Austin's booming, we need help, we need some assistance. And one of the, you know, the opposing arguments to that was that, well, Austin may not be growing 4 or 5 years from now as the way it is today. So obviously that amount of time's gone by. We're almost at, you know, pushing up on 5 years now since that meeting. And we're just coming again with a request for additional resource to join the Gatton Network Management Team. So if you look at the presentation in front of you in your handouts, you'll see that you have the cover, and then I'll get into each slide. And slide two illustrates the cost per approved SLAs for the past 22 years while representing the current SLA through 2024.
Frank, can you share in the slide?
I'm sorry. I don't have the meeting pulled up with me.
I mean, we can pull it up, but I didn't.
Carlos,
I can pull it up.
That's okay. I'm going to go back and forth between. So this one, like I said, represents the SLA history. Go ahead and slide two. The SLA history from the year 2000 to 2022 and into 2024. And at the end of this, I'm going to take any questions or next steps that we can do. But if you have a question on a particular slide, don't hesitate to ask me. So you can see their cost increase, what it was in 2000 through 2009 with the two FTEs, 2015, 2019 with the three FTEs, and then we're still sitting with three FTEs as of today, and that's why this request is being made. Carlos, if you'll go to the next slide, please. So yeah, so what this covers is there's eight main deliverables and there's 68 sub-deliverables within the Gatton SLA. So if you all, I know you are familiar with the SLA, and so there's quite a bit of deliverables that we focus on. And so with this FTE resource request, what we're looking at having them do is share the network management workload on deliverables with main focus consisting on five of those main deliverables and 27 sub-deliverables. So the next slide, what it does is it illustrates the SLA deliverables, and highlighted in yellow are the five main deliverables and 27 sub deliverables. So the next three slides are just, we don't spend a whole lot of time on right now, but they're where we want this resource focused on. A lot of it has to do with Austin Energy and the application process. But Carlos, if you'll just go to the next slide, please. So this is here, the highlighted portions. You can spend your time with that in your own leisure. You know, I don't expect anything major decision to be made today, but definitely spend some time with this. This is the eight main and 68 sub deliverables that we have. So that's for 4, 5, and 6. Carlos, if you would go to slide 7, please. Carlos, can you go? There you go. So just bear with me here while I call this one out. So this is just for, especially for the newer members, some good information for you to know. So the Gatton management team, I'll go over these three bullet points. So as the Gatton network management team, we maintain and operate a 350-mile network servicing seven entities with over 550 sites. You know, these include public safety. We all have a highly skilled, specialized skill with our duties, and that's what makes it so difficult if one of us is out for any length of time or anything happens to us. It's what I'm considering this is succession planning. You know, we're not going to be here forever, and if something pops up where emergency takes place, I mean, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, everything's hindsight's 2020. It's not 2020 to me anymore. It's 2020 because that's when everything changed. And you never know. You never know who's going to be around and who's not. So a new FTE would add depth and resilience to the team and significantly lower the risk to Gatton, because the way it works at the city, if we got this resource approved, we're looking at 4 to 8 months before they're in office with us and working. That's for the hiring process. If something was happening to one of us, we change positions, we retire, or God forbid it's some health reason, then, you know, you're looking at 6 to 8 months, 4 to 8 months, maybe possibly a year before we're replaced, depending on the position. So second bullet point is Austin Energy application processing delays and denials for Gatton projects. Some Gatton projects currently 40 leave multiple segments up to 8 and applications, making coordination of these projects difficult. Here's the thing. AE has requested a SPOC for all of Gatton's applications. Currently, that's me. I'm trying to do my best with thousands of applications and also be the network manager at the same time. So this is a lot of legwork. It's a lot of data entry. It's a lot of following up with our vendors, with our engineering firms, and with Austin Energy to see why things aren't moving forward. Dane, you got a question?
What is a SPOC?
A single point of contact. So the proposed additional resource will allow surety of all applications and proper continual communication with Austin Energy, Gatton vendors, and the engineering firms involved. And like I mentioned previously, due to the continual rapid growth within the greater Austin area, developer-initiated projects have greatly increased. This is the number one thing that we work on besides AE applications, and they're tied together. You know how much Austin's booming. You know how many people are moving here. You know how many developers are coming in. I mean, you see it all over Austin. So how much roadway work's being done. You have to think about it. If somebody's building a porch, a deck into an easement in their backyard, it comes through our office for approval. And that's the way it is. And there's two of us that are handling all of that right now, with Carlos being the main person handling that. It doesn't matter. If somebody wants to build a mailbox on the right-of-way, it comes through our office to get approval because they're digging to do it. So we have to approve it, and it's just a large undertaking, a very large undertaking. That's just to work in the city of Austin. That's not really, you know, it's part of maintaining the network. It's just because so many other people are moving here and building stuff, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. So, Carlos, if you go on the next slide, please, sir. So, yeah, so these are resource major duties that we would look at. The single point of contact to coordinate, track all entity, Gatton entity AE applications and Gatton applications, provide 24/7/365 on-call services. So the way it is right now, and my tenure here, and as well as Carlos and I are on call 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's just the way it is. It's the way it's been. We could really use some help in that area, and this resource would definitely help us filling in for that. We could have less than a two-man rotation going. I mean, more than a two-man rotation going, or two-person. Processing Gatton Amanda tickets, that's where I'm talking to you about the mailbox or the deck being built in somebody's easement or right-of-way, you know, coming through there and approving those. Those are tickets that we get constantly throughout the week, every day, and we have to approve those and look into them and make sure our network's not going to be harmed. Performing field inspections for completed projects, submitting mapping documentation for Gatton to Advance One. This is a big one. We pride ourselves in getting accurate information compared to the past. the way it used to be. And as it stands right now, Sarah has stepped up in a big way and helps us with this. I'd like to take that off her plate. She's been able to work with Advance One and get all of our mapping and USIC. It's not even in her job for it description, but she steps in to help us do this because we're so occupied with everything else going on in the city of Austin. Disaster recovery lead, you know, we've made some strides with our disaster recovery as of late, and I would like to make this person a resource to lead that that objective and that goal. Carlos, you go to the next one, please. Okay, so what this one is, this is a service matrix showing currently. And this service matrix that you're seeing, you know, of course, because it's current, consists of Sarah, Carlos, and it contains the eight main deliverables that I spoke of earlier, along with a description of each, including the breakout and percentages of time spent while providing our current weekly averages on the spreadsheet. And what you'll note, too, on the spreadsheet, you know, when I speak to my supervisor, it's really important, you know, for us and me as a supervisor of Carlos and Sarah, it's really important that I can get them in training and do some professional development with them when we go through our reviews and moving forward. And we haven't been able to do that for quite some time. I'd say it's been at least 2018, 2019 timeframe that really has just, we've been drawn away from that. We have taken it on our own time to better ourselves, and I commend my team for doing so. But we would like to get that worked into where we can actually take time during our work week to get some training necessary to better ourselves and therefore better Gatton. So while slide 9, Carlos, you can go to slide 10. Slide 9 represented current status. Slide 10 represents the proposed network management service matrix, you know, as it's proposed, allowing for an additional resource with the breakout percentages broken out into weekly averages. So it's the same as above. What you'll notice on slide 10 versus 9 is you'll notice the changes, the amount of hours that possibly I'm not spending on engineering versus the new resource, or Sarah's not working in a certain area versus the resource. So we are, you know, showing the amount of hours, we're showing that everybody, you know, instead of having to work 47, 48 hours a week for Carlos and I, we can all work 40, and we also have availability in there for training that we would like to do going forward. And in slide 11, Carlos, if you would please, sir. So I just thought it would be a good idea. This is the most recent Gatton cost avoidance report. I know, you know, as Gatton board members, you each have your own entity you have to respond to and make, you know, if I make a request of such, I imagine you have to go in there and explain to them why this request is needed. And I wanted to show you this, maybe give you a bullet point for you in doing so. And so this is the most recent cost avoidance report, being of 2022, which illustrates each entity's cost savings along with a total cost savings of $34 million per year for Gatton. And I really want this to serve as a great reminder of what entities are able to accomplish by being members of Gatton in regards to cost savings. And hopefully this will shed some light on the proposed resource funding versus actual current annual cost savings. It's a great, you know, it's a great opportunity. We have these cost savings, and in comparison to what we're, I feel like what we're asking, you know, the cost difference is not that significant annually. So slide 12, Carlos. Let me see here. Okay, yeah, so this is the SLA cost per entity. And what this does, this shows the network write percentages, the cost per entity, and the SLA current cost versus the proposed cost by adding an additional resource. So like AISD, I know you know, you're newer to the board than some of the other members. So what this means in particular for you is that if you notice on here, your network write percentages of 28%. I'm just using you for an example. Current SLA cost, the 126. Proposed would bring it up to 162, and that delta is $36,000 a year for AISD to pay in for network management to have another resource. And then you take LCRA, for example, you're looking at $6,500 annually for network management to have another resource. So when you see the current, the noted below, the current equals 3 FTEs. Currently, it's for This fiscal year, it's $450K for the network management team. That's the cost. It's $457 for the final renewal, the final year of renewal, which is FY24 currently. Proposed is giving us four FTEs at $580. And you can also see that the city of Austin shares this cost. We've got it here in bold. So, and they're giving up $27K and some change for it. Carlos, if you go to the next one, please. So this one, you know, this slide right here represents that the SLA cost percentage of the annual budget. So we've already spoke. Yeah, the board's fully aware that for FY24, we get into budget sessions, we're projecting a $2.3 million budget versus the current, which is $1.9. And with that said, what you'll note on here, the FY23 SLA cost for FTEs of the $450K and FY24 of four FTEs, $580K, the SLA cost comprises approximately 25% of the Gatton annual budget. So when we go from 1.9 to 2.3, you'll notice there's a 1% change in the cost for the network management team services per the SLA. So just the next last slide there, Carlos, is slide 14, in conclusion and next steps. Get back to that. So, yeah, this is something to be aware of. One of the things we're most fortunate about, if the board were to entertain this idea and approve it, is the city of Austin has an open position right now that's available. That's hard to get. It's rare since I've been here. You don't see that very often. Right now, I've already gotten approval for a title and a position. I don't have to worry about temps. I can go straight to, job market and start accepting applications. So just keep that in mind. All right. In conclusion, any change in the number of FTEs or scope will require a formal amendment to the SLA. This has to be approved by the City of Austin and Gatton. Bullet point two, as I spoke to just a few minutes ago, our executive management here at the City of Austin CTM is supportive of allocating additional FTE. They're 100% behind us on this. To Gatton, if Gatton approves the funding, the estimated time arrival for execution of amendment to hiring is about 6 months. I've seen it take longer. I said 4 to 8 months. You know, that average is six, but I've seen it take longer than six, and I've seen it take 4 months. So, and that's just the way it is. Final bullet point here, if Gatton approves the additional FTE for FY23 and the additional resources able to be hired in FY23, then those additional funds would come out of the Gatton fund balance. That's a difference. And if it's approved for 24, FY24, in any subsequent years, it would come out of the annual budget. So, is there any questions or any feedback I could get from the board in regards?
This is Zane. I would be curious to know what is the percentage across the sector of managing costs as a percentage of the overall budget. Like you showed 24 or 25% roughly. I wonder what the rest of the sector is showing as far as, you know, the cost to manage the network. And I'm not expecting you to know that.
Yeah.
Just thinking out loud.
Oh, I'm not sure. Man, I'm not sure I understand the question, honestly, man. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. So you're saying so we have the SLA network management costs. And what are you saying you'd like to see?
You had a pie chart that showed that the management costs to run Gatton are roughly either 24 or 25%.
Yeah.
Of the overall budget. I'm just wondering what other organizations or entities or companies in the sector have as management as far as a percentage of their overall budget. And I do not expect you to have that information or to even pull a number out of the air. I'm just thinking out loud. I wonder if that is high, is that average? I'm just curious. And I, like I said, I don't expect you to know.
Yeah, so I can tell you from my own experience and coming from the private sector, you know, so there are not management teams, you know, there's salary employees that do what we do for those respective companies. And you may have seen this in an email that I sent out to all the members. So just to make ready, now we don't do the volume that's, you know, like a Google does or maybe a Charter does. But just the make ready itself, the electrical make ready work, you know, Time Warner, Grandes, AT&T, they have their own departments. I've worked with them that they work on nothing but electrical make ready. So, you know, we're a three person team trying to do what they're trying to do, because when it comes to Austin Energy, we still have to go through the same process no matter how many poles we're trying to attach to that they do. But we don't have a whole department to take care of that for us so that we can focus on fiber. You know, costs, I've seen, you know, seven people on what would you might want to call management team, mostly, you know, from Grande Communications, from Charter Communications, from folks I know at Google. Usually anywhere a management team is going to consist of 6 to 10 people. And so, you know, their salaries typically run higher than that of government employees. And so, you know, somebody in my position, I know, for example, prime example, you know, just my position alone, you're looking at 160 to 210K a year in the private sector. Right.
Yeah, don't worry about justifying that. That was just me thinking out loud. I don't think that you're going to be able to give us data that.
Yeah, that's just one person though on that team.
What does the board think? Questions, comments?
So Frank, I think network management may have presented this before, but whenever we went the management team went to three FTEs. Do you have some data to show the increase in the workload, whether it's Austin Energy permit applications or projects at the utility coordination meeting, things like that, to show that this three-person team, which started out doing this certain workload, is now doing this larger workload?
Yeah, so there's some bar graphs we have. I actually excluded it from this presentation. When Ruben was working with me on this presentation, was a big proponent of us getting another resource because he sees the level of work we do and where we're at. We did exclude a few slides to make this try and, you know, compress it into this meeting. So yeah, that's something we can provide, definitely.
Yeah, this is I think John that'd be Griner helpful. This is John Griner from Austin ISD. Yeah, I think that would be very helpful. I mean, I don't think it's any secret that budget crisis that Austin ISD is going through. So, you know, everybody's looking at budgets and even at Gatton budgets. Anything I can do to help sell Gatton, so to speak, and make sure that everything's justified and everything's understood. So I'm going through that, not only educating myself on Gatton, but also my leadership. So anything that you guys can do to help me be educated as well, I can relay that to my leadership team. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'll be glad to bring that to the next board meeting, Jaime.
Okay. Hey, John, let's think up. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Jaime. I was going to say, I don't know if you need to bring it to the next board or if you just want to mail it out to the board members.
Yeah, you could email it to me. It'd be fine.
Yeah, review it before the board meeting because that'll help us make better decisions so we can try to move on this. I think this is important.
And John, let's you and I sync up outside of Gatton.
Yeah, sure, sounds great.
Things we can talk about.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So one thing that I would like to see is, you know, we don't modify the SLA contract very often, right? It's once every 4-ish, 5 years, whatever it is, or even if we don't modify it, we just come up for renewal. We usually discover things throughout the term of that contract, additional tasks that we'd like for management to take on, things that just pop up, right? Things we didn't think about or things that we've discovered during our maturity. I'd like to review some of those things and see if they would be appropriate If we're bringing on another resource, is it appropriate to ask for some of these other items we're getting to for management to be tracking? And I don't have those at my disposal. We usually discover those during like the semi-annual reviews when we're actually reviewing the SLA tasks. Does anybody have that? Is it, or do anybody have those things off the top of their mind? Gary, you usually have an incredible memory for this kind of thing.
Yeah, it looks like he stepped away.
Okay, well, I would appreciate if anybody on Gatton remembers any of those tasks or if management have any of those, if you could shoot those to me, I'd love to review those things.
Okay, I got it noted.
We actually don't do, you know, I don't know how we actually capture those. It's just more of a discussion point, to be honest.
Well, you know, it's also, you know, I got what you're saying, John, and I understand that board members, you got to go to your respective parties. You all have supervisors as well, right? So, I mean, the more I can provide you on the reason why and the necessity of it, the better. So I'm all for it. You know, this actually adds on, as a supervisor, this adds on more responsibility to me being a supervisor, but I will take it because I know we need it. And I know Gatton needs it.
Yeah, just some feedback. That's great data that you presented. I'm going to have to do the same thing myself with my staff. So it looks good. Great job.
Thank you. All right.
Okay, sounds like we've got some action items on that one. So is there any further discussion regarding the request for additional resources? Okay, hearing none, moving on in the budget, we are at agenda item number 6, network manager's update.
Yes, bear with me here just a moment, get to that. So Gatton project status report. Well, you'll see there's two handouts that follow this. 6A and 6A2, 6A3 application status meetings, try to hurry up there for you, Dane, but these are application statuses that AE defines and has sent us and that you all have access to as well. So currently, for the project status report, there's nothing.
Frank, this is Sid. Let me interrupt for a second. I think we skipped 5F.
Sure, I did. Apologies.
Is that executive session one?
No, we don't.
I don't think we're
going to
need that.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't even catch that.
Sorry about that, Sid.
That's all right. Trying to cut me out of my glory. it will take about 2 or 3 sentences. As you know, the lawyer for the insurance company, the sub, I guess third sub down, that actually did the damage, requested yet again some more information last time. Gunner provided that to him, and we have not heard back from him despite Gunner prodding him several times. So we are headed for the previously authorized lawsuit. Gunner reports that he is working on a draft of the complaint, expects to have it ready to be filed next week, probably early next week, maybe even by Friday, depending on how his hearing goes this week. So that's where we are. We expect, certainly by the next board meeting, that we'll have had a complaint filed. Once it's filed and the defendants are served, each defendant has about 20 days and then to the next Monday following the 20th day to file an answer. So there's a good chance that if this gets filed on time, we will be seeing at the time of the next board meeting the beginning of getting some formal pleading answers from each of the defendants. That's where we are.
Thank you, Sid. Any questions, comments for legal? Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Sid, and I apologize for skipping that one.
Yeah, so 6A1's Gantt project status report. There is nothing, which is unusual, but there's nothing to note on it as far as changes go, with the exception of the application status being listed on there for AE, from an AE perspective. So that was requested, I believe, to Last Tech Board. I'm not sure because I missed both of them, unfortunately. But that's the only change to it. And as you can see from there, you'll see them listed as is. If you have any questions in regards to it, you know, after the meeting or whenever, just let us know. 6A and 2 and 6A3 are the status.
I got a question on the project status report before we move on. At the tech meeting, I think, Carlos, you might have indicated some issues or concerns with listing the AE application status. Has that been resolved?
Well, we're working on it. Like I reported at that time, there was we added one more column to this project status sheet. As you can see, it says AE application number. It's the number that AE gives to our application. And just to give you an example. Under segment 7, okay. Projects segment 7, if you go all the way, the number for our application is 202000-12-T, and then it says 7A to H. That means that, you know, it goes 7A, 7B, 7C, and then so forth. There's several of those tracking. Now, in order to make sense to what I just did here, we added something that was sent to us from Monson Energy as 6A2, which is AE application status definitions. What is these things mean on the Austin Energy smart sheets, okay? And also under 6A3, this is a it's the smart sheets that come from Austin Energy. It's a snapshot. This is a live document that it's on the smart sheets, but I just imported it to, you know, and just basically printed it here so that you could see it.
And thank you.
And if you look at those numbers under the project status sheet, you should be able to see the related applications and status of those applications within the smart sheet. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. I think Frank was about to get into this part before I interrupted to ask about it. So.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, it's just we'll do the best we can. I'm glad that the numbers were added. That's a great idea. I'm glad the status is added. And just please keep in mind, you know, I've seen, I think, like 3 members that now has access to these smart sheets. If you want to get into the weeds and the details of these. The only thing is, with this one spreadsheet that we're trying to produce for you with the project status report, is you got to remember this. For example, I was reading that Dan Smith AE reply earlier. We had 23 applications at that point in time, and those 23 applications involved 757 poles. So that was in 2018. So you can imagine how many applications we have in right now, and, you know, the thousands of poles that we're currently involved with, and trying to, you know, when AE changes the status of a application number because of one pole, you really don't see that on the spreadsheet, why that changed. On our spreadsheet, our project status report, you'll see it in here, but you won't see it on that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions?
I do have a project specific question for Sid. Any update with Cap Metro on the C1 North project?
Yeah, let's you and I talk after.
Okay. Thank you.
6B is the Gantt job budget report, Sarah.
Yes. This report included those 3 jobs that were up for approval as pending. So subtracting those out, We are looking at 34 jobs totaling $1.76 million. So far, three have been completed. $110,000 has been invoiced. And the fund balance bottom line is about $600,000. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Okay, any other questions for management? Hearing none, moving on, executive session, we did not need it. Therefore, we do not need an updated roll call. Moving on to agenda item number 9, discussion and possible action regarding the financial report and current fiscal year budget issues.
Yes, in your handouts, you have the AISD budget report for the month ending August 31st. You can see that we started fiscal year 23 with $1.694 million in our project fund balance. We've taken in about $275,000 in revenue and paid out about $33,000 in expenses. That leaves our project fund balance at about $1.935 million. Then add in the $2.1 million for emergency reserve, and Gatton has a total bank account of $4 million. And then you could go through and see the expenses that have been paid out, the revenue that has been taken in detail on the following pages. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Yes, yeah, Sarah, how much of that $4 million do you attribute to us not buying cookies anymore?
Approximately.
$2,000.
$1,000.
It adds up.
I'm assuming y'all quit that just as I joined this.
That's right.
You know, John, COVID took a lot of things from us.
Including our cookies.
Yeah, that's bad.
I just wanted to make one procedural note real quick for future meetings. I had previously had the chat function disabled. I was told that I needed to do that by Sid. I noticed a lot of people use the chat today. And just to note for future meetings, I will have to disable that. That was just something with the Open Meetings Act that Sid told me I needed to do. And I guess I only did it for last year's meetings. So I'll make a note to do that for the future meetings.
My bad, sir.
Mine too.
No problem.
I apologize.
No problem.
I was assumed it was all recorded with it. So we would just, you know, they could look at the chat if they want to as well.
And Sid, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure you've said that in the past.
The real point of the Open Meetings Act requirements is that discussions occur that are at the moment visible and audible and so on to the public. And if you're chatting and they don't happen to be looking or don't have access, that doesn't work. So rather than have to try to police it and make sure it all works, we're just going to turn it off.
Okay, any questions or comments regarding the budget report?
And Dane, I will follow up with LCRA about the conference phone.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. Moving on to item number 10, meeting and action item summary. Frank, yeah, so, for us, please.
Yeah. So I've got one you probably didn't hear, but I'm gonna reach out to some other comms, find out about those poles over on A Street regarding A1 and A2N. See if they're aware of the fact that those poles are being removed. They have a lot of customers over there. A lot of meat potatoes in that game on being on those poles. Also, I'm going to meet with Right Away internally, just myself and Right Away. And if I need to, I'll bring Tina into that meeting with Right Away. She made herself available, so that'd be great if she could support us there in that in regards to replacing those poles. Gatton procedures for the next tech meeting for topped poles. That's a new one on me because they don't exist. So we're going to have to come up with that. We'll be working on it between now and then. I've never actually seen that before, but nevertheless, we'll figure out something with it. Next one is representation of workload changes. This goes to the resource request, past to present. So I get that emailed out to the board members prior to the next board meeting, hopefully next week, if not the end of this week. And lastly, listed deliverables that we perform outside of the SLA. I know the board members may have that type of information they want to share with us or share with the board chair. If you do so, please do so individually. If I'm not mistaken, that's okay. And other than that, I will be going over the things that we do that are not caught on SLA currently.
Okay, board, any action items that we didn't capture? All right, sounds good. Item number 11 is confirm date, time, and location for the next board meeting. It's going to be November 1st, 2022. And if you all remember, we had a conflict, so this meeting will be at 9:30 in the morning here at the LCRA Service Center or on Microsoft Teams. So please make sure you take note of that time change. This meeting is adjourned at 2:45, right on time. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Dane, if you need to cut out anymore, just